Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Being February 14th and Sunday, figured I'd talk about love. Not that I left God out of the, consulting with Him. I want you to think, well, you're just running on your own today, aren't you, Randy? No. Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack there in front of you. In fact, if you don't own a Bible or you say you have one but you have no idea where it would be, I want you to take that Bible out and before you turn to Ephesians 5, open the cover and take a pen or marker and write in the cover of that your name. I want you to then turn to Ephesians 5 and know that that is your Bible. You can take it with you. If you need one, I want you to have one. Don't feel bad about taking it. It is a gift to you. His Word is a gift to all of us. So, if you need a Bible, you got one. Take it with you. That's what they're there for. Okay? Please, we don't want His Word to just sit in bound form in a pew rack all of its life. Ephesians chapter 5. I probably read this passage more than any other passage when I officiate a wedding. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Now, I know not all of you in this room are married, but we're not going to just talk about marriage, because understand that marriage is just one of the relationships, and maybe the most significant relationship, that parallels on how God and the church, Jesus and the church, have a relationship, you and Him. So if you're here and you're not married, don't think that this is irrelevant to you. This has very much a part of how Christ feels about you, Him being the bridegroom, us being the bride. The church, believers in Christ. And so one of the ways that that is communicated is through the parallel of marriage. In fact, the end of chapter 5 here, Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says this is a profound mystery. I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. But what he uses here is the parallel of marriage and what God brought together in the beginning, a man and a woman. So, verse 22, it says this. Wives, you know what? This verse, let's have all the women in the room read it. Now, I'm not being mean. Would you just cooperate with me? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Will all the women please read verse 22? I never heard you women read so quiet. I'm kidding. Oh, let me have a little fun with you. Come on. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, and this is not the only verse we're going to read. Husbands, you're going to get your... You're going to get yours. Let me just put it that way. We're going to get ours. So, it's interesting. The Lord, He's perfect. So we have a little less issue. Not just women, but men. Because remember, He's the groom. He's the one we're in relationship with. He's the head. And we have a little less issue submitting to Jesus. Because after all, He's perfect and does all things well. And so we have a little less issue submitting to Him. But when we're called to submit to people in our lives who are not perfect, we have more of an issue. Because we see flaws in them. And so we use those flaws to justify why we're not going to submit to them. But Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, or submit to your husband as if he is the Lord. There's many benefits to this, and I want you to know that the benefits aren't just for the husband. I am so much happier in my life when I submit to the Lord. When I submit to Him. Because then there's things that are just taken off the table of decision. Because I know they are not things that He would ask of me or call me or desire for me to do. So therefore, they don't belong on the table. And there's a whole bunch of safety and protection, security and peace and blessedness and fulfillment and happiness that we can experience that doesn't junk up our life. And then there are new things that come on the table that are from Him. Submission is a principle for you and I, all of us. And it doesn't say here, wives, submit to your husbands if he's perfect. Here's the parallel. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, which he himself is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Respect their husbands. Husbands, here's verse 25. Why don't all the men in this room just stand up, please? Now, even those of you who don't have wives, I want you to read it as if you are a husband. I am to love my wife. Read it this way. It says, husbands, love your wives. Why don't you read it this way? I am to love my wife. You guys are not yet ready for marriage. You can't even find the verse. Speaking to these teenagers in the front here. I am to love my wife as Christ has loved the church. And he gave himself up for her. Okay, you can sit down. Oh, one woman said amen. I remember, and some of you know the story of when I first encountered this woman who was then not on crutches. I won't repeat the whole story, but I remember because when I saw her, I was in my office looking through my office door, and there was a sitting area that was inside kind of all the pastor's offices and the hallways, and I just arrived the day before to town in my first full-time ministry position as a youth pastor and college and career pastor at a large church, and just arrived there the day before. It's kind of my first day really in the office, and she was leaving for college. I didn't know at the time she was leaving for college, and so she was coming in to say goodbye to the assistant pastor who was my predecessor. In the sense of youth and college age. And so she was coming in just to kind of give a farewell, and she's packing up and heading to university, which I discovered later was only about an hour or so away. How convenient. I remember seeing her and immediately talking to myself. And this was the first word. No. No. she sat there in the lobby and I could no longer see all of her. You know, I could just see the lower part of her shin and her ankle and foot doing this. She was evil. I first talked to myself, and then I talked to the first word, no, no. And then I talked to the Lord. Lord, this is not why I came here. I came here to do a good job. I want to keep my nose to the grindstone. I want to, you know, this is my first full-time position. It's a big demand to step into the magnitude of this kind of ministry and church staff. And you can't explain it. It's not practical. I saw her and I felt it. I was gone. I'd like to be more mature, sound more mature. I'd like to sound like I was real pragmatic about it and real self-disciplined and I had everything harnessed and everything else, but I didn't. She had that ankle. And now just that poor wounded little foot she's got. I remember Do I still have all of those feelings? I know you want to hear me say yes. Sometimes. Because other times I want to take that ankle and I'm kidding. I'm exaggerating. At that moment, Ephesians 5 didn't cross my mind. And we have this high calling to be like Christ, husbands, to lay down our life. And it's not just in the utmost noblest sense where if it was her life or mine, I would give my life. It is on the day-to-day little things that I have to die. It's the same for you. It's the same for her. She doesn't feel every day what she felt back then, or what she portrayed to feel back then. I don't know. It's a woman. How do you know? I'm a man. How do I know? Listen, real life happens for you and I. And when you take two imperfect individuals, and I could say it this way, just two individuals, man and woman, put them together, they're going to hit some bumps in the road. And here's the thing. Generally speaking, not always, generally, it has to do with us. Not us men, but us all. See, when I got married, I was under the illusion as we got married that I would get to know her better. Well, I did, but I got to know me better. I got to find out what I was made of and the decisions I would make, regardless of how she would treat me. I still had to choose. Who am I going to be? I want you to know she started this morning out very biblical. Because she said, well, I know you're leaving, and I guess, you know, I'm going to need a ride to church. Maybe Brock could take me. And then she said, or I could drive. Well, her right foot is in a boot. She's walking on crutches. And when she walks without them, which she just started to do, you know, it's like this. I said, no, you're not driving. Because you're not used to using the left foot, and the right foot, you can't even really put any pressure on it. And, you know, plus you got like this thicker sole that you're not used to wear. You know, I'm just seeing, you know, through the stop sign and into oncoming traffic. I couldn't quite put pressure on the brake. So I don't want nothing to happen. I said, I'm sorry, you're not driving. She said, okay, I'll do whatever you say. I had a question, but I needed to leave. Was that just about that, or was that about everything? I'm kidding, it was just a question. I'm kidding. Brock did bring you, didn't he? Yes, thank you. Marriage is a wonderful thing and a tough thing for men and women, just for people. If we are totally driven by emotion, you know that our emotions change and go up and down. So what is going to hold to the plan that our emotions will get in line and follow us? It's the decision that we make and the choices that we make about who we're going to be and how we're going to live. And how we're going to love when another person disappoints us. Has she ever been disappointed in me? Well, yeah. You don't need to ask her, I'm just telling you. You don't need specifics. They're probably some of the same specifics of why your wife was disappointed in you. And here we are following Christ, and we're supposed to be perfect at this, right? Right? Isn't that, you know, kind of the myth we fall under is, well, now that I'm a believer, I represent Christ, and I'm following Christ, therefore I have to be perfect at this marriage relationship. Well, I'm glad that we all feel that way. But this is a relationship that has to do with grace and mercy and love and kindness and understanding when you don't understand. Be understanding. Well, if I understood, I might. But I don't always understand. I'm going to share something with you. Husbands, you can't fix everything about your wife. And wives, you can't fix everything about your husband. But we can love him and walk with him through some things. Listen, if you were to look at the book of Hosea, it is a beautiful book of God's anger, frustration, and overcoming love. You know, in Hosea, he justifiably, he blows some steam about his people. And he talks in different scenarios about, you know, taking this us or his people and, you know, have I not taught you to walk? And have I not provided for you? And all these things that he did, and yet they wouldn't follow him. They might profess their faithfulness, but they didn't back it with the way they lived. I mean, you would find in Hosea where he talks, his people, to you and I, to the Israelites, those who, as a husband and as a lover, as one who, he says, especially in chapter 2 and in chapter 6, I'm going to make some references here, is he talks about how he's going to allure her and woo her. Because he's taken with her. It talks about how he is going to walk with her and speak to her out in the wilderness and the desert places and in the woods and through the difficult places to walk. And listen, that doesn't end when the wooing is over. We still got to walk with them through the difficult stuff. It's not over because we got the ring on. We said the vows. We had the reception. The ceremony's over. It is the ongoing, I'm going to walk with you through some things, even when I don't feel the high of the beginnings of newfound love. Still gonna submit, even though I know you more. These principles of God's Word and how Christ has loved you. Think about it. You know, those of you who have a relationship with Christ, He wasn't doing some trick about wooing you and sharing His love with you and forgiveness with you to try to con you to come into relationship with Him and then say, well, okay, good, now you're on your own. He is still walking with us through all the muck and the mire and the dark places and the low places and the high places and the difficult narrow passes and all our confusion and our moodiness and all the stuff that we still kind of do in our life. He is still loving us. He is still loving you. Turn to the person next to you and say, He is still loving you. He's still loving you. I want you to know that love. Love will heal you. Love reveals this eternal identity of that makes all things new again. Okay? I mean, do you remember a point in your life, and maybe you were a kid, you know, she broke up with you, or he broke up with you, or he went out with your best friend, or she, you know, found out the star quarterback, you know, liked her, and so, you know, goodbye to you, and you know, you're mad, upset, and disappointed, and hurt, or you feel second rate, or kicked to the curb, or whatever, blah, 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 the list goes on. That's it. I'm never doing that again. Liar. Love will heal. Listen, many of us in this room, you've been hurt through a very serious relationship, whether it's the one you're in or some previous relationship. I want you to know that love will heal because it reveals who He is and He can make all things new. Listen to me. This isn't just theory. This is who He is. And especially if you're a believer in this room, you know, quit quoting stuff that sounds like you believe it and actually believe it. His love reveals who He is. He makes all things new. Listen, He talks in Hosea about if you will, His love for Israel, if you will just, and He's talking like as a lover here now, if you will come to me, if you will, you will be loyal to me, if you will be faithful to me, listen, I'm going to cause you to flourish like a vine. What happens is, in our life, when we've been hurt once, or more than once, or many times, we begin to fight mistrust. And actually, some of us don't fight it. We just welcome mistrust in. And what happens is we hurt from the past and we carry this mistrust. And from that point on, even when you enter into a relationship with someone in the context of, you know, you're dating or it's getting serious or you're engaged or you're married, and you still carry this around, what happens is we start to think that we can provide it if we protect us. I don't want to do that again. I'm so hurt. And I don't believe love can heal it. I got mistrust. We start to think that we can provide it for ourselves. I want you to know, in a marriage relationship, it is not asexual. Love is to be provided for one another. We know that it's humanity and we don't always do this well and we're broken. But if you will open yourself up to the love of God and you will begin to love like He loves, I want you to know that He will heal you of every broken commitment and covenant of your past. Even if there has been mistrust issues in your current relationship, I want you to know that the love of God will heal. Because you understand that there's a security and there's an assurance in Him. And if I will come to Him, and if I will love like He wants me to love, I will thrive and flourish like a vine. On the back of our house, the walkout level is kind of a stone, and then because the back's a walkout, so it's really, you know, below grade, but there's a walkout level, and then the ground level, you know, is wood. And in the back, there are these vines that grow up. They cling to the stone, and they go up the wood, and when it's summer and they're green and they're up the back of the house and they create their own design, I want you to know it is beautiful. It is beautiful. I hate those vines. I am pulling those things down, then pieces of them stick up where I can't reach them. You power wash it and they barely come off. You can ask Dennis Sherman this. He painted our home, the exterior of our home, and he had to get up there. He had like a toothbrush out. I'm like, oh my goodness, God bless you. And by the way, be careful up there. You know, I'm pulling these things. I'm chopping these. I'm like, they're not, and they just keep coming. I just pulled a vine off this spot 2 days ago, and it's another. It's already. It just flourishes. It flourishes. Listen, that is the way that we will flourish in our life. If we will allow the love of God to come into our life and we will begin to experience that love and love like He loves and love the people around us. Listen, I'm going to skip several things because it's already late and we want to take communion. But I want to say this to you. And I believe in counselors, and I believe in, you know, help from qualified people in our life. You can give them whatever title you want, but I could save you a little bit of time and a little bit of money. And this, you know, this doesn't mean this is the fix-all, but I'm going to tell you something. It will clear up a lot of things. We have complicated this relationship of marriage because we stop focusing on the person. Listen, we're all guilty of it, all of us. What happens is we start to assess the relationship. Is our relationship good? If our answer is no, that just really means this. My needs aren't being met and I'm not being treated good. That's all that means. So quit focusing on the relationship and begin to focus on the person. There's a difference. Because if I'm focusing on the relationship, I'm trying to, you know, kind of guess and assess the relationship and how's my marriage. And how... No, focus on the person. Because it'll narrow it down to this. If I focus on the person, it comes out like this. What does my husband need right now? What does my wife want right now? What is she interested in right now? And if you start to focus on the person, and you're both doing this simultaneously, I want you to know a lot of the junk is going to go away. It's like this. I'm not happy with my prayer life with the Lord. I'm just not happy. So I focus on my prayer life. And I got to be praying right. And I got to read some more books about praying. And I've got, you know, and there's room for this. But here's the thing. If I will just begin to focus on the Lord, and I just begin to focus on Him and talk with Him and find out what He likes and what He wants me to do and how, and I'm just focused on Him, my prayer life is going to increase, it's going to be meaningful, it's going to be productive, and it's going to be fulfilling. Because I'm focusing on the person. I got to try to get this Christian, I got to be a better Christian. That sounds really good. But just focus on the person of the Lord. And a lot of this, I got to be a better Christian. Or I got to have a better marriage. Just focus on the person. Just focus on the person. Think about this. Before you were married, what were you doing? You were focusing on the person. What does she like? I don't have the money for it, but I'm going to make this happen somehow. What does she want? What does she care about? What's he into? You just started focusing on the person. You weren't going, "Now I really want us to have a healthy dating relationship." And you were just like the head of the person. You know, what do you think? You are so focused on the person that you didn't even pay attention to all the warning signs. Come on, be honest. What warning sign? What flashing light? What sign that said no, turn around? No. What warning sign? Your mother said, "Don't go with him." What? I didn't hear her. You're just so focused on the person. And how do you think it was? Hey, come on. I'm not saying you didn't sin or make mistakes, but you know what? It was pretty good. Right? Well, now we're married, and we got kids, and we got bills, and we got a, you know, mortgage, and we got careers, and we got... Well, we just got to communicate more. That's the key. Just focus on the person. Focus on the person. Focus. Listen, when I think about this, it makes me want to take, you know, cell phones and laptops and other technical devices and just take and pitch them. But I understand that those in and of themselves are not evil. It's that we are not self-disciplined. To say, I can put it away, I can put this away, I can put the hunting away, I can put this away, and I'm going to focus on you. Do you remember the early days? You were working, but your mind was not there. You were thinking about her. You were thinking about him. Interesting thing happens in the Song of Solomon. Very passionate lover book. And a parallel of Christ and God being a lover. And I know that, you know, here in North America and this part of the world, we're very uncomfortable with that kind of idea. It's about two people focusing on each other and noticing things about one another and expressing love to one another. And their love matured in that book. Because it started out when she talked about her beloved. It started out that the beloved is mine. And if you look at a couple chapters later, her love matures because now she says, I am my beloved's. And the second thing was, he is mine. It changed. It reversed. She gave way to love in the sense that I'm his. She's so focused on him. I'm his. The reservation was gone. There was no holding back. There was none of this mistrust and wounds and hurts. Love brought healing, and it will thrive. It'll cause you to thrive like a vine. I want to tell you this, that we make it far too complicated. We really do. If we can practice a simple principle of focusing on the Lord, we will spiritually grow. If we will focus on the people in our life, focus on them, we will grow. I've watched this happen with mothers. I'm old enough now and been in the ministry long enough that I've talked to lots of moms. And their relationship with their kids is pretty good because they focused on them. And now her and her husband are roommates, strangers. I can control how I treat my wife. I can control how I treat people in my life. I have control of that. You have control of that. Even if they disappoint you, upset you, push some of your buttons, you can control how you respond to them. You choose. I choose. I want to mention to you, kind of in closing, like I said, I'm skipping so much this morning. There was something I wanted to share with you, and it had to do with this, that critical, angry people, they tend not to be loved and cherished like they think they should. And then they get to a point where it doesn't happen. And then they kind of think they deserve it. If that is one of your tendencies, if you in turn would not be negative or critical, and you begin to honor, and you begin to honor, and you begin to focus on people and the people closest to you, I want you to know that that seed will return to you in fruit. We can blame the people around us for not being, I don't know, cherishing enough to us. But, and it's easy to point the finger, but if we will plant seeds and allow them to germinate in time, and we don't know how long it takes, That's not like planting a seed that, you know, that comes in a packet from the store and says germination is, and after so many days you will see this, and then after so many days you will see this. Plant your sweet corn. Did you get 45 day or 60 day? We don't know when we do this. We plant the seed, but we're focused on people and honoring and loving and blessing and what is it they need. And I promise, because it's God's word, it will come back to you. Critical, people who don't like to honor people, they wonder why they're not being fulfilled. And it's the seeds that they've planted. So stop blaming the people around you. I'm just going to tell you that straight. And by the way, it's not too late. Oh, happy Valentine's. Those of you who are married in this room, what do you need to change and what risk can you take? Oh, I tried that whole focus thing. That didn't work. I mean, I tried for 2 weeks. Oh, wow. Way to be extreme. Listen, love does not have a termination date, an expiration date. Doesn't have it. I know that there can be extreme circumstances, but most of us live on this side of extreme circumstances, and we have had time to mend and fix what's broken in us. Well, he better take the first step. Well, she better take the first step. Well, if I try this, I'm going to feel foolish, and she's going to know now that I tried this just because you said something on Sunday morning. And then it's not going to look like it came from me. Oh, don't let those things stop you from doing what's right. Do some of the things you did at the early stages of your marriage or your relationship. Okay? Start doing it. I don't feel like touching him. So mad, blah, 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 and your list is long. Listen, focus on him. Focus on him. Reach out, and oh, but he's supposed to be the initiator. Reach out and take his hand and make him and allow him the opportunity to feel like a man again. Your man. Sir? Have forethought. Forethought. Not foreplay. Forethought. I am thinking about her. I'm planning for her and what she likes and what she enjoys and what I get. It's a challenge for us. But the challenge is no excuse not to become what we should. God loves you, and he's had a lot of forethought. You have been on his mind. Turn to the person next to you. You have been on God's mind. Say it. Turn to him. You have been on God's mind. Listen, just because he was not in your thoughts doesn't mean you weren't in his. I was thinking about her before she knew I was in there, in that office. But then she saw me. And like God had a goal in Hosea for Israelite to, he said, I am going to be, he says, I'm going to be your husband, and I'm going to remove every remembrance of a Baal, an idol, from your lips. So I got to know her and found out who the other Baals were in her life. I was going to step in and make sure she didn't remember Scott and Andrew and what's the matter, Brittany? You didn't know I knew Mom's past boyfriend's names? I'm telling you, God is out because he loves you, and he's going to remove from your remembrance and your lips past lovers and past ways of life. He loves you. He cares about you. And it's not based upon your performance or if you were good enough or, you know, what kind of history do you got or was I abused or not abused or I lost who I am. I don't even listen. He wants to find you. He's looking for you. Now you let the love of God in your life. You can stop it if you want or you can try to put up a standard against it. But I'm telling you, he's not taking no for an answer until you give up your last breath. He's not accepting no. How many of you, your wife had to ask you out more than once? I mean, you men, you had to do a little wooing, a little chasing, a little alluring. Let me tip you off something on the studies. This is not from the scripture. I'm just going to give you this. We got to go to communion. It's so late. 95% of the time, the woman makes the first move. That doesn't mean she walks right up and asks you out. It means you noticed her looking at you. And that was the first move. Because you went, oh. All right. By the way, I never walked like that. I'm just telling you, gave the first, hey, I caught her looking, she's interested. And it wasn't one of these fake scans that she does. Men, we just kind of look and go. Women can be, we think they're looking over here, but they are watching you. Right here. Don't kid yourself. I know that. She still sees around corners. Listen, God has got you covered. He knows where you're at. He knows where you've been. And he loves you. And he wants you. And he desires you. All your brokenness, whatever. Listen, it is not. Listen, all that's going to be washed away. Because you're going to be so taken with him. In your life. He's going to turn around. You're going to think, yeah, but if I do this, I'm tangled up in so much. Hey, listen. It's no problem. Okay? When I met her, she is tangled up with Scott. I said, so what? And to this day, she says, Scott who? Well, not really, but you know. She remembers his name. So what? That ain't going to scare God away. Oh, well, listen, they're tied up in other stuff. I guess they just don't want me. You think that's what God's doing? Uh-uh, I love you. He's coming for you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.